I am a project director at AASA, the School Superintendents Association, and today I'm going to be talking about the role of superintendents in school health. And before I get started, I just want to acknowledge my coworkers who helped me develop this presentation, Sharon Adams-Taylor, Sepna Bethaja, and Kayla Jackson. I have no relationships to disclose. So as I mentioned, I work for AASA, the School Superintendents Association, and we are the national membership organization for public school superintendents. We have about 9,000 members, but there are about 13,000 superintendents in the country. Our mission is to advocate for the highest quality public education for all students, as well as develop and support school system leaders. The role of the superintendent is an interesting one. They help develop policy, they influence policy, they make sure that policy is implemented. They set the pace for academic achievement, and they represent school districts to the public at large. So being in both public health and education, my colleagues and I help superintendents see the role of health and other student supports as an aid in their quest for improved academic achievement. Sometimes it can be real difficult to get superintendents involved in school health issues. And I want to point out that it's not that superintendents don't care about public health or the health of their students. It's just that they are education experts. Their training was not in health. And so what might seem really obvious to us isn't always obvious to them. They often leave health issues to the school nurses, the health coordinators, the food service directors, and other people like that, and that's how it should be. But with their support, and what AASA tries to work on with our members, is that with superintendent support, they can really make or break a health program. So unless a superintendent has a particular interest in health, they often don't make the connection that health really can impact academic achievement. However, there is a growing body of evidence that proves that health really does improve academic achievement, and this data really makes sharing information with our superintendents much easier. So students who are more physically fit perform at higher levels on their core subjects. By providing breakfast to students at school, students have improved concentration, alertness, comprehension, memory, learning. Poor school performance is influenced by hunger, physical and emotional abuse, chronic illness, and school health programs can have positive effects on educational outcomes, health risk behaviors, and health outcomes. Nothing of that is a surprise to any of us in this room, I'm sure. So today, I'm going to be talking about three projects that AASA works on with public school superintendents: coordinated school health, competitive foods policies, and alternative school breakfast. So coordinated school health is an 8-component model developed by CDC, and the 8 components are listed up there. And we really stress with our superintendents that by adopting a coordinated school health policy in their districts, they can influence the overall wellness in their district. So this project is funded by CDC, and the main activity of our work is a superintendent's leader cadre. And so we have 13 superintendents and school board members who work together to develop and implement coordinated school health in their districts, and then they share that information with their peers in other districts. And we found that this peer-to-peer modeling really works with superintendents. So in one district in Maine, in the Western Foothills Regional School Unit Number 10, Dr. Thomas Ward is the superintendent. He has 2,800 students in 10 schools. And this slide shows a bunch of bullet points that he sees as the key administrative components in the success of the district's coordinated school health program. So Dr. Ward works with his school board to ensure funding for critical pieces, including professional development. Now, this district serves 12 different communities, so it's a very large geographic district, but it serves just a small number of students. And a program like this in such a small district can often fall victim to funding issues. So Dr. Ward really ensures that funding for a position around coordinated school health continues. And I'm sure it's clear, but Dr. Ward doesn't run coordinated school health at all, but he fully advocates for it. And he shares this passion with other superintendents as well. So our competitive foods policies project is one that we work on. We have a direct mentor-mentee group of superintendents who work with their food service directors to improve the competitive foods in a district. As you may know, competitive foods refers to any food or beverage sold outside of the federal meal program. So that's food sold in a la carte lines, in vending machines, school stores. And there is a new guidelines coming out from USDA on competitive foods that are to be implemented in 2013-2014 school year. And so some districts have already been doing some of this work already. And so we're trying to work with superintendents to get ahead of the curve and start their implementation of this early so that they can have it set for the new school year. So in the Norris School District in Firth, Nebraska, Dr. Skreta is the superintendent. He is also in a small district. He has 2,000 students in 3 schools. But Dr. Skreta is a true champion of health, personally and professionally. He really makes it his priority to address health in all aspects. He also does coordinated school health as well. And he changed his competitive foods policies a few years ago. He noticed that the foods sold in the schools were not aligned with the district's mission to help every learner thrive. And so he worked with his food service director to change the food that was offered. High sugar, high fat, high sodium foods were changed out for more healthful snacks like granola bars and light popcorn. And thankfully, because of some nutrition education and marketing that they did, students embraced the new alternatives and use remained high. So revenue did not decrease, which is a win-win. And Dr. Skreta recently won an award through the Leadership for Healthy Communities at the Childhood Obesity Prevention Summit in Baltimore last month, and it was really, really inspiring to hear him speak. Thankfully, we took some video of Dr. Skreta. We interviewed him talking like he was talking to other superintendents about these issues, and so it should be available on our website in a couple of months, so please do check that out. Our alternative school breakfast project is funded by the Walmart Foundation, and we've worked over the last 2.5 years with 11 school districts to really champion the role of the superintendent in implementing a successful alternative school breakfast program. So changing how breakfast is served, moving it from the cafeteria into classrooms or into hallways, depending on the age of the child, helps reduce stigma, and it makes breakfast more accessible to everyone. It also significantly increases breakfast participation, which increases reimbursements to districts from the federal government. So in the Syracuse City School District, the superintendent, Sharon Contreras, has 20,000 students in 32 schools. And I was happy when I was putting these slides together to realize that we had small districts and a larger district too, because these types of changes can happen in all size districts. So Ms. Contreras really wanted to change how breakfast was served in Syracuse when she came into the district a couple of years ago, because she saw how successful it was in a previous district. Syracuse has a really high free and reduced meal rate, about, I think it's 84%, and you know, she really wanted to make sure that the hungry children in her in this new district of hers were eating. So when Syracuse got the grant from AASA, she sent a letter to the principals explaining her vision for this. And so everyone was bought in and knew what a priority it was for her, that this wasn't something that was just part of food service. However, food service was the one who led the program. And as you can see, they greatly increased their participation over 1 year. So a couple of takeaways about working with superintendents. They're, as I said before, their training does not include health, and so what seems obvious to us isn't really obvious to them. So educate them about the link between academic achievement and health. As much reach as AASA has, we don't have total reach, so please be talking with them. Appeal to their academic side and use data. They really really do listen to that. And use an economic incentive as well. There's more money in the food service budget if you change how breakfast is served. by serving breakfast in the classroom, oftentimes more children come to school on time, which helps with average daily attendance. And then showcase the work of other superintendents in similar sized districts. Like I said, the peer-to-peer modeling really does work with superintendents, and it's just about engaging them in a way that makes a difference to them. And also, once you're in, get their buy-in, but then let the expert take the lead. But make sure you keep talking to the superintendent about the initiative. We had one district on our school breakfast project where the superintendent didn't really want to be involved, and it wasn't as successful. In Syracuse, the food service director talked with the superintendent on a monthly basis, informing her of what was happening. So it really does make a difference, and thank you for listening. I did bring some resources, which are on the back table, and if there aren't any left, if you download the presentation, there's links. And that's it. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.